Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen.
Dear Klaus.
Your annual global risk report makes for a stunning and sobering read. For the global business community, the top concern for the next 2 years is not conflict or climate. It is disinformation and misinformation, followed closely by polarization within our societies.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You are listening to The David Knight Show.
That was the president of the European Commission. And I figured out finally how to pronounce her name. Ursula von der Leyen. That's it. Ursula von der Leyen. She will lie to you and she will make sure that you cannot speak the truth. She's going to shut you down. And of course, she's one of many of these people. We got a queen now who is talking about how we all need biometric ID as well from Davos. This happened over the weekend. Biometric digital ID cards could track vaccination status, says the Dutch Queen Maxima. Oh, okay. Well, that's a good name for an authoritarian dictator. Maxima. Maxima the First? I imagine there's been many other Maximas before this one who are maximum leader, czar, all the rest of this stuff. Here's the question I have. Why should a queen of the Netherlands or a king of Britain, why should they have any say about our lives? It makes me think of the Monty Python all over. Who elected you, king? I didn't. We're an autonomous collective here in the United States and in other areas, so we're not really too interested in what kings and queens have to say about us. She is described by Breitbart as a longtime social justice campaigner. Working with the UN and all the rest of this. And so in a panel discussion to talk about financial inclusion, she says just the opposite. You know, you're going to have an ID to have financial inclusion. And she says, you know, when you look at poor people, they really need to, be able to have some sort of ID so that they can get their government checks and all the rest of stuff. And I immediately thought, so what kind of an ID does the Queen of the Netherlands or the King of Britain, what kind of an ID do they present to get their government welfare checks? The biggest welfare louts in the world are these kings and queens, right? Do they have to have an ID? Do they have to go down to some office, show their ID, and get their multi-million dollar check? Of course not. And who are the real welfare queens here, right? It's not these poor people that she's trying to tag and bag. She's the welfare queen. She's on the public dole. And so is Charles and all the rest of them. Why do we put up with people like this and Ursula von der Leyen? She said, when I started this job, there's actually just a couple of countries there. Let me play the whole clip for you. I've got what she has to say. Here's the Queen waxing on, just like Bill Gates, about how important it is for people to have the ID, because the ID is going to be their ticket to welfare, although she doesn't need an ID for her welfare. So.
Why? Because in order to open an account, you need to have an ID.
Right.
And
she shows her ID to open an account.
This job, there were actually very little countries in Africa or Latin America that had one ubiquitous type of ID, and certainly that it was digital, and certainly that it was biometric. And now we really work with all our partners to actually help that being, to grow this. And the interesting part of it is that, you know, yes, it is very necessary for financial services, but not only.
Sure.
You know, it's also good for school enrollment. It's also good for health, who actually got a vaccination or not. It's very good to actually to get your subsidies, you know, from the government. So this has not only effect to the financial services. It's a very important issue.
Yeah, it's good to get your subsidies from the government. So she must have one of these things. Yeah, because she gets a lot of subsidies from the government. What a hypocrite these people are. And of course, it's not just good for this. It's good for everything. You know, you're not going to do anything without that ID. And this is what they've been saying all along. I don't know how they think they're going to rebuild trust. The Dutch Queen has also been one of the leading proponents of CBDCs, and she does it in the name of quote-unquote financial inclusion. What doublespeak, what Orwellian doublespeak that is. And of course, this is Bill Gates has been saying, you know, all along he's had ID 2020, which is really where they kicked this stuff off, was in 2020. And he kept saying, you know, you got to have all these different, the poor people for, you know, their subsidies, for their health care. They need to have an ID and all the rest of this stuff. They would open a bank account. And I'm sure that the Queen, whenever she wants to open a bank account, they want to see her digital ID. So Davos is demanding coordinated system of carbon taxes that is worldwide. And of course, that's what they want. This is always what the climate stuff is about. It's always problem solution. You have to have a global problem and then a global tax for that. That's what the climate stuff is all about, because you can't have a government without a tax. Ultimately, right now they have been funding their globalist agenda by essentially selling shares to these multinational corporations, you know, these backroom deals where they become stakeholders. As I said before, they've got the ideas and the agendas at the UN, and then the World Economic Forum and these other globalist organizations will come in and start to try to come up with strategies to enact that agenda. But they really do need the money and also the technology, these corporations, in exchange for that. They become stakeholders. They get into the, buy their way into it. You know, they're essentially, you know, buying a dukedom. Or they're buying, you know, it's the old-fashioned feudalism that we're looking at here. These people are, you know, they're not winning this stuff as a handout from the king because of battle or something, or even because of loyalty and opposing another king trying to take the throne. But they're establishing this global throne, and they're getting paid for it. But in the long term, they want to have taxes to support this, and, of course, to be able to redistribute wealth globally, because that's what these people are. They're not socialists. They're Marxists. And they're all about the redistribution of wealth, like every other Marxist. You know, it's not from the rich people to the poor people. It's from the poor people to the rich people. That's the way the Marxists redistribute everything, especially taking it from the middle class. And so they're trying to redistribute wealth, they say, to poor countries from Western countries. But they're really trying to redistribute all the wealth to themselves. The climate change agenda can only be fully obtained if international carbon taxes are implemented on a global population, said the Saudi Arabian finance minister. Another example came in 2023 when Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, this reminds me of Quick Draw McGraw, el-Kabong, well, this is el-Sisi. He doesn't hit you over the head with a guitar. He just slaps you with a limp wrist. He says, hunger is a price worth paying for a country's progress, because that's a bill that other people will be paying. El Sisi is going to be eating whatever he wants to eat, right? Don't you Egyptians dare say that you would rather eat than build and progress. If the price of the nation's progress and prosperity is to go hungry and thirsty, then let us not eat or drink. Let them eat bugs. Don't undermine the cause of our nation and make us the world's laughingstock. Stand fast. Transform the cruel circumstances that we are going through into a gift. The harder you stand fast, the sooner the economic crisis will pass. It's not a gift. It's a grift. And, of course, you've heard essentially the same thing from our fearless leader, Biden, who says, yeah, you know, he puts these sanctions on everything. He goes, it's going to be tough, but in the end, it's going to be worth it because, you know, we're going to get rid of this form of energy that we're using right now. Well, as we look at Davos, the questions still arise. You know, there was the conservatives who went there. And of course, we have Javier Milei is presented as a conservative, and we have the president of Heritage Foundation, the biggest conservative think tank. Both of them went to Venezuela. And publicly, you know, Javier Milei's speech was excellent. He had all the points on individual liberty and the economy and things like that. As I pointed out last week, he responded to the criticism from Maduro. He said he never expected such praise from a globalist dictator. He said, I did not expect such praise. Impoverishing socialist Maduro, saying that I am a historical mistake in Latin America, confirms that we're on the right path. Long live liberty, he said. And so there's a lot of, you know, a lot. I'm somewhat undecided about him. We'll have to see what he has to say. But there's a lot of things that indicate that something may not be quite right. Wine Press expresses some of my concerns, saying that they think that he's a globalist puppet, actually, and making the case that as their theme was laughably called rebuilding trust, what do? They bring in Milei, they bring in the president of the Heritage Foundation. Is that how they're going to try to reestablish public trust? Is that going to be how they are going to tell us, don't worry, everybody's, you know, we've got Davos's number and they're not going to threaten you because we know what they are. And we just told them to their face what they are. And so you don't have to worry about it anymore. So just go back to sleep, that type of thing. We've got leaders who are going to oppose them. So you don't need to worry about what Davos is saying. Is that what that was really about? Is that the way they want to rebuild trust? See, I think that's what's going on with Trump, frankly. Like his predecessors, Argentinian president, Milei is listed by the World Economic Forum as a contributor to its agenda. In fact, he has consistently represented the positions of the World Economic Forum in the recent past. So he wasn't just somebody, you look at this and we've had people like Dan Crenshaw, we got people like Tulsi Gabbard, and they show up there as World Economic Forum young leaders and things. And of course, Vivek Ramaswamy says, well, they never asked me, and I want to get, you know, he said he was going to sue them, I think, to get his name taken off of their website. And they took it down. You could have a situation where somebody gets their name. I don't know if that's really what was going on with him or not. When you look at his pharmaceutical connections, maybe he was, you know, pushing for that. Nevertheless, just having being identified as a World Economic Forum leader, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a part of them. It doesn't necessarily mean that if you go there multiple times that you are, you know, sympathetic to the organization, as we've seen Governor Kemp and Youngkin and others and Trump and all this going there. I, on the other hand, I start to say, well, it certainly looks to me like I would lean the other way. I would lean into saying that they're globalists. But as Wine Press points out, Javier Milei was initially against vaccination. But he's argued for mandatory vaccination during the coronavirus crisis. So again, like Trump, you know, he's saying, well, I know these vaccines, I got some real concerns about them and, you know, maybe about autism and some other things like that. But then when it comes into the coronavirus, they're right there with everybody else, Milei, Trump. And so he was also on the side of the Zelensky regime in the Ukrainian war. And he stands right there, shoulder to shoulder with Netanyahu in the current Gaza war as well. And so he talks tough, but we've seen that before. He also borrowed Trump's slogan and rebranded it to fit his country. Make Argentina great again. So we got our own MAGA. As a matter of fact, I see here a tip and a comment from Stealth Patriot. Thank you for the tip. Appreciate that. It says Marina Abramovich said that Donald Trump is the magician to wake up the world. MAGA, which also means witch, is the fifth degree in the Church of Satan. Yeah. And he said there's a video link that I posted on today's comments about that. As a matter of fact, that's also pointed out by Wine Press. Again, you use that term MAGA. These are the individuals who act as spokespersons for the philosophy of the Church of Satan, says the Church of Satan in their on their website. They say we have titles such as Magister, Magistra, Magus, and MAGA in the Church of Satan. So just a coincidence, I'm sure, right? Malai is a showman. And that's the other thing that gave me pause about him. You know, he's a little bit too much of an actor, a little bit too much with the antics with the chainsaw and things like that. You know, yelling and screaming and cursing. To me, that is always a troubling thing to see that in somebody. I think we ought to have, it looks like a demagogue instead of a statesman when you see that type of thing. So that's another thing about him that gives me concern. But I think that looking at Malai, looking at Meloni in Italy, and looking at how it's too soon to say whether he's doing the right thing or betraying his promises, but certainly we know that Meloni is full of baloney in Italy, how she campaigned, again, just like Donald Trump, on we're going to control immigration. She's done exactly the opposite. And she has been one of these people who has hung out with the leaders on every occasion, these globalist leaders. He is another one of these celebrity politicians. So in that regard, he's very much like Trump as well. Just weeks after his election, he immediately backtracked on most of his campaign promises, such as renewing Argentina's pledge for the Paris Climate Agreement. Foundational. The Paris Climate Agreement. And so this free market guy, as I said before, the climate thing is the centerpiece right now. The climate MacGuffin is the centerpiece for moving their agenda forward and for creating a global ID, a global carbon tax, and all the rest of this stuff. And Javier Milei renewed their pledge to the Paris Climate Accord. Now, even the environmentalists understand the Paris Climate Accord is a fraud. Even the people who believe that the world is going to melt down tomorrow know that it's a fraud. And they said, this doesn't address this at all because it gives a free pass to China and a free pass to India, the two countries that are the biggest and dirtiest producers of energy anywhere. They said this is nothing other than a redistribution of wealth. They said that when it was first when it first went through back in 2015. The wacko, alarmist environmentalist said it was a redistribution of wealth. So why do you have people like Trump and Javier Milei supporting it? So, again, is it about rebuilding trust? And as the Wine Press points out, goes back and reminds people about the trust. Remember the trust? Felix Dzerzhinsky and the Cheka, and how they ran all of the opposition, you see. That's what's really going on. You want to know what's going on with these anti-globalist organizations? You know, the easiest way there's books about it. But I think the best example and the most entertaining example is look at Sam Neill's Riley Ace of Spies series that I think it was done by the BBC. And in that, you see how the Russian intelligence agency, the Cheka, and Felix Dzerzhinsky, who was running that, they created all of these anti-Bolshevik organizations outside of Russia, and they funded them, and they knew who the people were, and they had their own people in there. And if they were not on board with him, people like Sigmund Riley, they would lure him back in and they killed him. And he was the model that Ian Fleming used for James Bond. That's how the real James Bond wound up. He got snookered by the trust, just like American conservatives are getting snookered by MAGA today. Again, rebuilding trust, you know, this is the Heritage Foundation saying, you are the problem. And he slams the Davos globalist to their face, right? And except that, you know, since their key thing is ID and censorship, you know, misinformation, disinformation, that's their number one thing. But of course, right behind that is the global ID. What is the record of the Heritage Foundation in terms of defending free speech? Well, again, the Heritage Foundation, just like the Cato Foundation, the biggest conservative think tank and the biggest libertarian think tank, Cato Institute, were on the wrong side of the issue when it came to social media censorship. They said corporations can do whatever they want. And we don't want the government telling a corporation what to do, but the corporation can tell you what you can say or do. And that's exactly wrong. Again, going back to the Supreme Court decision, back in 1946, Marsh versus Alabama, they said, even though the public square in this coal town is privately owned, they cannot shut down free speech, even if the public square is privately owned. Twitter and all these other places were public square, digital public square. And so that's the principle that we ought to look at.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.